Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Scott.
Let's talk. You obviously very busy yesterday in
Twelve more days.
Yeah, and yesterday it seemed like everything seemed to be focused in one of your committees, criminal justice. Talk to us a little bit about the Innocence Commission and those hearings yesterday, please.
Well, sure. You know, a lot of the bills going through criminal justice have been about reforming our justice system. I think it's important and it's a step that we need to take here in Texas to make sure we have a fair justice system that continues to allow for the authority of our judges and our prosecutors to prosecute wrongdoing, but at the same time puts in place stronger safeguards to protect against miscarriages of justice.
Those miscarriages have probably been around for a while. Of course, we all watch CSI and think you can get DNA back in an hour, and which isn't the case. But what was the tipping point? Where did we get to the point where this now, the Innocence Commission is...
I think the Michael Morton issue that happened in Williamson County shined a very bright spotlight on the need for discovery process reforms to prevent prosecutorial misconduct. You know, that Michael Morton Act was actually passed by the House and is going to the governor's desk. And so, you know, DNA evidence has been a very worthwhile and important advancement in criminal justice. So we're doing a lot down here in reference to reforming our justice system. And under the leadership of Chairman Whitman, I've been proud to be a participant in that.
Let's talk also about campus carry. That's obviously something that people care about here with two campuses in Brazos County.
Right.
And I think the senator has already said that he's not in favor of it. Tell us how you feel about it and what you think its possibility is in the Senate.
Well, I'm in favor of the campus carry bill that we heard in committee yesterday and passed out of the committee 4-2. That bill, you know, I'm obviously a very strong supporter of our Second Amendment rights. I'm a CHL carrier holder myself. CHL is not something that's new. It's been around since 1995. The issue surrounding campus carry has been vetted and debated and negotiated over three sessions over 6 years. It's been refined, and this bill allows for an opt-out provision for local control. It also has certain exclusions and limitations of various areas on campus that you cannot carry. And I think it's a balance between the need for personal protection and to avail ourselves of our Second Amendment rights versus, again, some of the concerns raised by administrators and individuals that don't favor campus carry.
What is your feeling in the Senate as a body?
I think it's going to pass.
Okay. Blood alcohol content used to be 0.1 in Texas. It was lowered to 0.08.
Right.
Now there's a proposal for it to go to 0.05. What are your thoughts there?
I have some concerns. I think where we are is probably the right balance. You know, this really goes down to education and personal responsibility and knowing your limitations on a personal level. You know, you lower it too much, you're going to have a situation where you're going to impede small businesses. Same time, you want to make sure that we keep people off the roads that are inebriated. But I think 0.08 is the right level. The most important thing we can do is continue to educate individuals as to what to know your limit, to know the level of alcohol consumption that gets you to that limit, and to make sure that you take the responsibility on a personal level to not drive if you think you're close to that limit.
Of course, you can find statistics that will tell you anything, but one of the things that proponents had said was that 0.05 is widespread in Europe. Also, it would cut down on those people who might be consuming behind the wheel, which, of course, is an offense in and of itself. But what would you say to those people?
Cut down on, you know, the people that are drinking at 0.8 and above are probably still going to drink at 0.05 and above.
Sure. There was an audit report that came out concerning Texas A&M and where they were putting fees, and apparently it was a little obtuse. What are your feelings on that?
Well, I have that report. It's 70 pages, so it's a little bit hard to get through when you're trying to get done through the session, but... certainly, fees should be utilized for their intended purposes, and you know, I guess there could be some improvement in transparency there in reference to how the fees are described. You know, I don't think there's many misspent money, or at least I haven't heard that or read that, but I certainly believe that fees in general, as down here in state government, that should be utilized for their intended purposes.
State Senator Charles Huerta joining us. Finally, this morning, earlier this week, you had released an editorial, your point of view on pulling back the curtain on Medicaid expansion. Kind of give us an overview and your thoughts there, please.
Right. Well, There's lots of discussion about what Medicaid expansion would entail. It was sold to us on a national level back in 2010 to essentially improve the health of millions of individuals and potentially prevent the deaths of tens of thousands on a yearly basis. This editorial centered upon an article that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. It was a prospective, randomized, controlled trial between individuals that received Medicaid and those that did not. Oregon at that time only had a certain amount of money to allow for an expansion group, and it followed them longitudinally, and it showed and proved that their measures of physical health, as measured by hypertension and cholesterol and diabetes, did not improve between those that had access to care through expanded Medicaid and those that did not. So it makes you take a step back and rethink about the benefits that we would get from an expanded Medicaid population versus the costs and really how much personal responsibility and lifestyle choices figure into health versus access to care figuring into health.
Well, of course, you're uniquely qualified. Your other job when you're not doing this is you are a medical doctor.
Right.
And so in that circumstance, how have you seen that organizations are asking their front line, people like you who are on the front line seeing patients, to become more responsible, asking the patients to right. become more responsible?
Well, two-thirds of health is personal responsibility and lifestyle choices. And I mentioned that. And of course, it's difficult. It's a difficult discussion with individuals about weight and smoking and diet. Those are things that are under the individual's control and are, again, the primary determinants of health. But then again, we live in an American society, and it's a difficult situation, and it takes internal fortitude and strength to make that change.
Sure. All you can do is put the options out there. Finally, I guess we've been waffling back and forth. It's the 15th of May. What's the call today as far as the special session is concerned in your view?
Well, I think we're going to get done with the budget. There's been some breakage of the ice in reference to the negotiations between the House and the Senate. If we have a special session, it's going to be over redistricting and potentially tax cuts, in my opinion, at the current time. Of course, that could change by the end of the day, but that's my understanding of the current situation. And so we'll see. I'll let you know in 1 week.
There you go. We'll know a lot more. State Senator Charles Wortner joins us on Wednesday's